Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Welcome to week three of Legacy, Living Beyond Your Own Life. I want to take some time today and talk to you about four things that legacy living will enable you to do with your life. I don't think there's anybody alive on planet Earth that knows God or doesn't, that doesn't want their life to be significant, doesn't want their life to count for something. And what yet happens for most of us, even those of us who know God, is we get captured into this life only. Legacy living is when you understand eternity and you have it in your heart. You have it in the way you plan and live your life. And my hope today is to help you kind of process this, to see that when you live this way, it actually brings you into this incredible partnership with God Himself. And so one of the things we're doing during this series is something we call one for one, where what we're doing is taking a dollar for every person that's in attendance over these 3 weeks, including this weekend. That number is going to come somewhere between $12,000-$13,000. And we're going to take those monies. Now, these are monies you've already given. So everything you ever give to Victory, unless it's designated, if you designate funds somewhere, it goes there in totality. Any non-designated giving to the church, what happens is we immediately take 10% of that and we put it into a giving fund, a mission fund, where we serve missions around the world, nationally, internationally, and we do projects and things that help and change people's lives as a church, as we are committed to giving away what God's called us to give, and not just be self-focused as a church. But what we're doing with those monies, and not just those monies, we're adding some to it. A local business got involved as well, but you'll find out about all this at the Christmas show, is we're gonna invade somebody's life with your generosity and absolutely change the trajectory of their life with a variety of things. And when you come to the Christmas show, how many of you are coming to the Christmas show? Come on, man. More importantly, how many of you are bringing somebody far from God that needs help from God to the Christmas show? Wasn't as good, but that's okay. By the end, I hope we're all on board with this. If not, the Patriots will beat us today. We'll lose in the playoffs, and it will be all your fault. It's up to you. Hey, it's up. No, I'm teasing. It's just, you know, how many of you know the Patriots? God loves the players. He hates the team. I have a scripture. All liars have their part in the lake that burns with fire, brims, you know. So no, I'm sure God loves them. Now you know God's love, don't you? He loves the Patriot players. He even loves their coach. Bless his heart. Okay, so not God's heart, the coach. And Lord, you know, bless all the, they're in Pittsburgh today. Jesus, help them all personally. Help them get buried this afternoon in a football game. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Instead of driving into my southern, let's do it like in a Pittsburgh accent and that, okay? What we're going to do down there, we're going to get a stadium here. We're going to call them. We're going to kill them. We're going to kill them. And they're going to go down, okay? They're going down today in the stadium in Pittsburgh. They're going down. Don't tell me the Patriots ain't going to win today, okay? All right. If you're not from Pittsburgh, you're like, what was that? None of your business. But at the Christmas show, we're going to have this, it's going to be such an incredible time. And we're going to show a video of this person's life when they find out what's happening. It's remarkable. But today I want to talk to you about four things that legacy living will enable in your life. There's so many things I want to do with my life. So many things you hope for. So many things you wish you could actually somehow gather the energy, the strength, the resource to do. But sometimes life can just bury you. And you end up just stuck. Stuck not just in bad things, but even good things. And somewhere inside of you, you know that your life is meant for more. Legacy living is what takes you into the full capacity of how God made you and what he made you to be, to do. It's parable of talents, where God gave the one person one talent and he buried it in the earth. And Jesus called him wicked. It's so easy for us to take all that God's given us and just bury it into the earth or into this temporal life that we live. Our lives, let's just say you live 100 years on the earth, and 100 years equals one step. That 100 years is so quick. Eternity is if I kept, throughout the whole time I'm speaking this morning, somebody just took steps and walked throughout you, all of us, this entire time. By the time I'm finished, they will have walked about what would amount to 140,000 years. And that wouldn't even be considered the beginning of eternity. Eternity is time forever. Timeless, it goes on and on and on. And yet, so often we live our lives based on one step instead of the 3 billion that are ahead of us. A person that will live in partnership with God is when a person that learns how to keep eternity in focus while they live their everyday life. Really, if you want to know what a relationship with God is, that's what it is. It's setting your heart on things that last forever, not just on things beneath, the Bible said. It's knowing that God has an everyday life blessing for you, but also an eternal blessing. Let me read it to you. 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said this, "For bodily exercise profits for a little while, but godliness simply means living God's plan, God-like, pleasing God. But godliness is profitable." Everybody say profitable. Godliness is profitable to all things. Having promise, say it out loud, promise. Now there's two realms in which God has given you his promises. Having promise of the life that now is, that's your earth life, and promise of the life which is to come. God has a plan for not just this life, but your eternal life. And what he's simply saying to Timothy is, look, bodily exercise is good, but it only profits you in this life only. Now the Bible, you know, one translation says it profits for a little while. People ask me, why don't you exercise more? Well, it just doesn't profit you just a little. But that's really not what it means. It's simply saying it's good for you, but it will only profit you on this side of heaven. Because can I tell you something? You can have the most spectacular body, taking care of it, but you do know it's still going to die. You don't? It's gonna. You say, well, Pastor John, you need to lose some more weight. Well, I understand that, but I can promise you, once I'm dead, I'll drop weight quick. It's gonna go. He said, bodily exercise profits for a little while, but living God's way will profit you, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Here's the reality. God wants to show up in the life that now is to set you up for the life which is to come. And most, listen, I don't say this to any way, say anything negative about anybody, but I'm telling you just from observation, most Christians live and die and they never have eternity in focus ever. They bury their entire life, their entire talent just in the earth. And they never pick up their head and see eternity in focus. They never realize that there's so much beyond this life. See, legacy living isn't about what I consume. It's more than that. It's what remains in my life. It's what remains in my life. God has called every one of us to live that kind of life. In fact, the Bible will tell you over and over again that you will never live a contented life out of your heart until you live beyond yourself, until you learn to live with eternity in mind. And when you live with an eternal perspective, you want to make an eternal difference. And yet for so many precious people, they never live for anything that will live beyond this life. Let me take you to the second point. Also, what legacy living will enable you to do is love God passionately. How many of you truly want to walk with God and love him? I know I do. Does anybody like me ever get areas of your life you're like, man, how can I get past this part of my life? You feel stuck. Anybody ever have that happen to you? Okay, for those of you that don't lie, I'll try this side of the church. Any of you ever have that happen to you? Loving God begins with knowing that he loved you first, but I want you to see how an eternal perspective literally can change your relationship with God and cause you to be able to love him as passionately. Well, not as passionately as he loves you, but to respond appropriately and love him passionately back. Two experiences I'm going to share with you today. One happened about 25 years ago, and the other one happened in 2003. And they helped shape the man that I am today and the way I live my everyday life. And I'm hoping that as I share this with you today, that you go into another realm of living so that you just don't live these days that one step and then enter into an eternity, and that's it. So let me read you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Paul said, so we make it our goal to please him. Say that out loud. My goal is to please him. We make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. He's talking about life and death. I love how the Bible talks about death. Whether you're in your body or out of it, that's how the Bible talks about dying. You leave your body. Do you know when a Christian dies, he doesn't or she doesn't die? We taste death that remain. They just left one home and went to another, one house and went to another. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when a Christian dies, don't ever feel bad for them. I don't care what the circumstances, because they never tasted death. They just simply left their house and went to another house, like you left your house and came to this house. You didn't die, you moved homes. But when someone we love dies, we have a separation. They're in a place we can't touch yet. And he said this, he said, our goal is to please him, whether we're in the body or out of it. For we must all appear, everybody say all of us. No one escapes this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now this makes people really nervous. Oh Lord, there's a judgment seat of Christ. And he said, everybody has to go there. This is like every other one, aren't you? Because if it is, you're like, well, maybe Steve Moore will have to go, not me. We all have to go. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, I haven't done everything good. Will I go to heaven? Will I go to hell? The judgment seat of Christ is not a heaven and hell judgment. It's a rewards judgment. It's how you lived your life in this life with eternity in mind. This is the judgment where Jesus is not the one walking the streets of Galilee and being kind and where you see this kindness just pouring out of his eyes. The Bible talks about this moment when literally Jesus' eyes, fire comes out of his eyes and passes through my life. By the way, this isn't maybe going to happen to you. It's coming. Keep eternity in focus. This is ahead of you. And the Bible said when that fire passes through my life, it will consume everything that is of the earth, wood, hay, and stubble. Everything that which is of eternal value will remain. And those are your rewards. We're talking about God in this context rewarding you. You say, but what about all the bad stuff? What will happen to me? Can I tell you this, that you want that burned out of your life? Anybody want to carry your junk into heaven? Me either. It's mercy that it's burned out of your life. You don't have to carry it throughout eternity. But can I tell you what, for many people, here's all they're going to carry into eternity. One step of a human life. That's it. They will have received no eternal rewards because when that fire passes through their life, they never lived for anything other than themselves, solving their problems. Therefore, no more. This kind of legacy living helps you understand just a few short blinks, and I'll be before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me tell you about an experience that started to make this real to me. 20, 25 years ago or so, I was with my grandmother. Actually, she's my step-grandmother. My grandfather, my real grandma passed away in 1978. My granddad came to Christ and had the privilege of leading him in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he remarried this wonderful Christian lady, saved in like 1925. And I mean, she was lit for God, right? So Grandma Antoinette. And now I love Grandma Antoinette. She's in heaven. Now she won't mind me saying this to you. I wouldn't say it while she's on the earth. It might be dishonoring. But you all know people that when you ask them a question, you ever say, hey, how are you? And you mean, hey, fine. And it's just like a salutation. Not with Grandma. You ask Grandma a question, you better have 45 minutes. Because she will tell you and then she will go on 7 rabbit trails. And don't try to get away from her. I've been in rooms with her and there's a doorway and you're trying to work toward the doorway. Just instinctively, she blocks it. You ever talk to somebody on the phone or for those of you that are younger, those things you text with, you can talk in those. Did you know that? It's an amazing thing, technology. But anyway, you know when you're on the phone, you go, hey, okay, well, hey man, yeah, you know, you're making your voice like, okay, I'm done voice. And they don't hear that voice. And they burst right through it. That was Grandma Antoinette. So I was just being polite. Spending some time with Grandma and saying, hey, Grandma, how's the church? And I named the town where she lived prior to marrying my grandfather. And her family still went to this church. And I'd spoken at this church 2 or 3 times. And I was just being polite. Hey, Grandma, how's the church doing? And, you know, oh, everything's fine and blah, 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 and move on. But that's not what Grandma did. She stopped and she went, well, let me tell you. And she started to talk about the status of the church and maybe some of the things that the pastor wasn't doing that she thought would have been ideal. And she started to delve into that because grandma was an opinionated person. And she loved Jesus, but boy, she had strong opinions. You know what she said about the women of your generation? She said, these women today, they don't cook, they stir. My generation, we had to make everything from scratch. They get a box, they stir it, they cook, they stir. We had to cook. They don't do laundry. A machine does it. We used to do it by hand and wring it and hang it. They put it in one box to another. They don't do laundry. We did laundry. They put him in two boxes and then he'll have to do laundry. The machine did it for you. She was direct. But grandma, in the middle of this kind of discourse, she stopped talking to me, and here's what she did. She's talking to me about the negative things there, and she literally stopped in mid-sentence and did this. I'm too close to heaven to talk this way. And then she looked back at me. She was in her 80s, and she knew she's not far from going to heaven. She was saying something she thought was unprofitable, and she stopped, and she no longer was I in the room. No longer was she trying to, you know, she's saying, and then she stops, literally, and hesitates, looks away. I'm not there anymore. I'm gone. I'm too close to heaven to talk this way. Then she picked up her head and we talked about something else. And I knew at that moment God was trying to do something in my own heart as a young man. And I didn't get it. And for probably 5, 6, 7 years until the second situation occurred, I would, not every day, but probably at least once a month or every couple of months, I would say, Lord, back at that thing with grandma, I know you were trying to say something to my heart, but I didn't get it. Now what I know looking back is this. She said, I'm too close to heaven to talk this way. I thought I wasn't. That was my deception. I thought because I was young, I'm not as close to heaven as you are, Grandma. And not that I was talking that way or wanted to, but the fact of it was, I didn't have the same awareness of eternity that she had. I'm too close to heaven to talk this way. What you're going to find out today is that you're too close to heaven. I'm too close to heaven to talk that way. You're too close to heaven to live maybe the way we're living. Give the way we're giving. Serve the way we're serving. When you get an awareness of eternity, it causes you to be able to love God more passionately because you realize, and you're there. I'm too close to heaven to think this way. The third thing that legacy living will help you to do is this. It will help you to serve others selflessly. We are all called to live selfless lives as Christians, but is there anybody like me that you just sometimes get buried into your own issues, into your own problems, and not only bad things? How about Christmas? Is that brutal? I don't mean Jesus' birthday, but the process for it. It's one of the most brutal birthday parties in the world. You know, many, many people fall away from walking with God over Christmas. They're too busy to know him and serve him. They just get distracted. It's a crazy time of the year. But what I want you to understand is it's so easy, even in good things, to get just, it happens. It's human life. But seeing eternity will help you to serve others selflessly. Let me read out of you the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verse 6, out of the Message, which is not an exact translation more than it is a paraphrase. But let me read to you out of Proverbs 9:6 says, leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a life with meaning. The Bible will tell you over and over and over again, until you learn to give your life away, you will never have a life of meaning. You will never know what it means to have a contented heart until you live beyond your own problems, your own will, your own desire, your own pleasure, your own family. Most people live and die, and they never live a life of meaning. You know, even if you look at psychology today, they have discovered the very same things by studying human lives. Now, I'm not saying this to make fun of. If you're a good psychologist, is worth their weight in gold, as is with any profession. So please, not disparaging the profession, but I do have to say this, having gone to college and gone to a class with a psych teacher, most psych teachers in college, a little bit nuts. How many of you had psych in college and the teacher, you're like, bleep, 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 that's all, folks. There, something's not there, right? I remember in college, my psych teacher, and it was like the big freshman class, you know, when everybody's in there, id, ego, super ego, all that stuff, right? And we had a test day, and you had to come hand your test in at the table she sat at. Well, she happened to have her baby there that day in breastfeeding, which is fine, except she was doing it like Africa style. I've lived in Africa, just things be hanging out, okay? And I don't mean like, you know, need to be discreet, and I'm not, nothing against breastfeeding. Listen, just telling you, things be out there, okay? So every guy that would go up to hand the paper in, just, it was uncomfortable. So you could see guys would kind of go up and kind of do this and just trying to be polite, right? After about probably the fifth, sixth, seventh guy that did that, she yells at everybody. This is completely natural. You people are going to warp my child. And I'm thinking, lady, what? Am I supposed to walk up and go, ooh, you know, it's like, it was just uncomfortable. When you come up here, you treat this as it's normal. And I'm sitting in my chair thinking, lady, that kid's problem ain't who's in the classroom. It's who she's attached to right now. But that was just me. But just a thought. But if you studied psychology at a very basic level, you'll hear about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where he studied, this is probably 50, 60 years ago. He studied college graduates, Ivy League graduates, people who have had the greatest opportunities, and how they would find contentment in their life. And I don't have time to go into the whole, all the steps of the needs human beings have. But he basically came to the final need, which basically was this. The greatest need that every human being has, the one that will bring them the most satisfaction, that will bring them the most contentment, is living a transcendent life. When your life actually serves and helps somebody other than you. And that those that directly are connected to you. When you live that life, that's the highest level of living. A transcendent life. I had an experience that cemented this for me. It was 2003. And it's when what grandma said came into full understanding in my heart. And it changed the way I live my life. You see, when you come to church, I expect God to change my life. Not come here, sing three hymns, two hers, and go home. Change your life. If you meet with God, it ought to change your life. It ought to change every bit of my life to be in his presence and hear his voice. I was at the funeral of my spiritual father, and it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And there were probably over the 2-3 day period, and this is a very conservative estimate, at least 10,000 people who passed through that church to walk past that casket. I was just one of them. Virtually every Christian leader you know was there. And after I went through the line, I came back around and I was standing about 15 feet from the casket. The line was here and I was on this side of the line, just kind of looking. And I was standing there looking at this man who had such an impact on my life. And I was just standing there reflecting on the impact he had just on me. And the things that I learned because of him, and because he honored God with his life and lived a life that was selfless and honored the call of God on his life. I learned how to walk by faith under his ministry and learned how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, to know the love of God, to understand his grace, how to hear his voice and step into faith and obey God when everything around you is screaming. I was standing there thinking about that our son, when he was born and had an incurable disease that was heartbreaking. And by the grace of God, what I learned from that man, from the scripture, gave us the understanding how to go before God and to receive his healing power. And we are so thankful for the mercy of God that we experienced in our son's life. And I'm standing there thinking of the impact this man had in my life. And while I'm standing there, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Now, understand when I say that, that doesn't mean he said, John, I'm here. I want to talk to your heart. It's not how it works. It's almost like you're standing there and a paragraph of understanding emerges in your mind. And it's like a knowing occurs. And you know it didn't come out of your head. You're standing there minding your own business. And here's what I knew I heard from God. Number your days. Number your days. Now that's Psalms 90. Let me read it. I knew the scripture, but let me read it to you. Psalms 90 verse 12 said, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So when I left that night and went back to the hotel, I did that. At the point when this happened, I was 43 years old. And I thought, well, if I live to be 86, I have 43 more years. Then I multiplied it by 365. These are how many days I have left on the earth, and I don't get more. Lord, number my days. Teach me to number them so that I can live my life and apply my life, my heart, to wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to make a decision you won't have regret over. Wisdom in this context is the ability to make decisions that affect eternity. Wisdom is when you live beyond your one step, assuming it's 100 years. And as I stood there and I recognized, I remembered the story of when he was a younger minister and had a ministry that was not a church, but traveling and doing these outside meetings. And he said, I would train a young man to come and travel with me and work in the ministry. And I'd train him in the ministry. And every 2 years or so after he'd get trained really well, when he'd be any good to me at all, God would touch his heart and make him leave. After about the third one I did this with, I kept saying, Lord, all I'm doing is investing in these young people and they leave me. You know, I don't want to just keep training people. And he was kind of complaining about it. But interestingly enough, when he was about my age, 56, 57, God tapped him on the heart and he said, I want you to give your life for just that. He spent the last 30 years of his life. He started a Bible training center. And today there are 68,000 graduates. 68,000, I'm just one of them. You will not go to anywhere on the globe that one of those graduates is not serving God and making a difference. Or certainly if you take one or two generations away from those graduates now, because it's been since the early 70s, mid 70s when it started, late 70s, you won't find a corner of the globe that that influence hasn't touched. And I was thinking of the influence he had with his life. And God said to me, John, you number your days so that you can apply your heart to wisdom. And I counted my days. Just so you know, just for the sake of honor and being clear, that was, I had 43. I only have 29 now if I live to be 86. Do you understand that when you number your days, you start to get that this is finite and you think and you plan differently? Wisdom is simply this. It's revealed in the decisions you make and the life you pursue. And most people only want earthly wisdom. The Bible calls it earthly, and it's sensual and it's devilish. That doesn't mean it doesn't have good things. It means it's only about now. But the wisdom of God, the Bible said, is from above. And it's peaceable. It's easy to live out. It has an eternal scope and value. And something happened when what grandma said to me and what I experienced at that casket, and I realized, I'm too close to heaven to live the way I'm living. The pace in which I was going, the focus of my life of getting this problem solved for my own life, and this issue was coming up. And I began to number my days, and I began to realize, John, you're too close to heaven to live this way. You're too close to heaven. And it brought me to the fourth thing that happens when you live a legacy life, that it enables you to do. It's this, is that you can live your life intentionally. Now listen to this word. This is so important. And fearlessly. Most people, fear is the leader of their life. Fear tells them where they can go, where they don't go, the limits of what they can shoot for and what they won't. Fear will tell you what 15 things bad that will happen if you try to take that move, and you'll obey it. And fear will hem you in, and it will torment your whole life. How many of you would like fear to lose its grip on you forever? I'm going to tell you how to do it right now. Fear to lose its grip on you forever. Now, please understand this. If you ever are going to do anything great in your life that lasts forever, I can tell you this, fear will be your constant companion. But this will help you never to obey it, never to honor it, never to give it place in your life. I can promise you fear never goes away. It always comes to forecast the worst, to tell you why God won't be faithful in your tomorrow. Fear forecasts the absence of God in your tomorrow. Faithfulness of God forecasts his presence. Faith in God, you forecast his presence. But you see, this was 2003. This church had just bought this property about a year and a half before. It was 64 acres of nothing but trees and one big hill and one big valley. And what was going to ensue in the next coming years for everything to be done here that you see was impossible. When I tell you impossible, it was so impossible, I had two different officials from the township pull me aside. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever developed 64 acres of property on Route 19 in Cranberry Township. It's painful. And the process is, and it's not their fault. I had no idea, but they knew I had no idea. So two guys separately, being very polite and kind to me, one didn't know me very well, so he called me Reverend. Like Little House on the Prairie. Don't call me that. I don't like that word. God, you reverence God. Call me John. I'm okay with that, right? Anyway, and he pulls me aside, and in essence, here's what he said to me. Reverend, look, I know you don't know what you're doing here, so I need to help you. He said, what you are trying to do on that side of Cranberry, and I know the timing of the things that have to happen, there's no way it can happen in the time frame. We know how the township is growing in the, out toward 228, and it did. And the 228 corridor is where the growth is going to happen. You're at least 10 years away. You'll never make, this is going to destroy what you're here to do. Your church will not survive this. Had another guy in the township came and basically told me the same thing. John, look, I just want you to understand some of the things you're trying to do, they're wonderful things, but listen, it's not possible right now. This is 10 years away. So for both of them, see, I'd come back from there with a different mindset. I began to realize, wait a minute, I'm going to an account to God, and it's not hypothetical, it's real. He said, John, number your days. The pace I was willing to live at was not the pace God wanted to go at. And people around me began to say, this is impossible. One individual, and I have a relationship with him today, he doesn't go to church here anymore. He's a good person. He's a good man. So please don't misinterpret this. He understood some of the intricacies of this. He pulled me aside when we were stepping into some of the things. And I don't have time to give you the details, but it was crazy impossible. And if you heard all the stories, you would say, that's crazy. So he pulled me aside and he said, look, I'm uncomfortable with the way you're leading this church because what you're trying to do on that property is impossible. You're going to bankrupt this church. And I just have to be honest with you. I can't be a part of a church that's going to go on this journey. So I'm leaving, I'm gonna go to another church. And I told him honestly, I said, listen, I understand. Based on the forecast of what we see on the present realities, I don't disagree with you. I appreciate that, I respect that. You've been good to us here and we're still close, okay? I mean, there's no animosity. But here's what I said to him. I said, but let me help you understand this. In a few short years, this is right after this had happened in my life. Number your days, John. John, I have a different pace than you do. See, Jesus said, go get me the world. And he didn't say, do it with your own strength. He said, I want to partner with you. Is there anybody here that thinks partnering with God, he ever looked at a project and went, let me get some more investors? God and you make a majority. But fear will be your constant companion. The key to fearless living is not waiting for permission from people or circumstances to act. You've got to learn to step into the purpose of God for your life because just a few more blinks and you'll be in front of him. So here's what I said to that dear man. I said, well, I agree with you completely and I appreciate this and I thank you for coming and telling me and having the integrity to have the conversation. I said, but here's the deal. In just a few years, I'll be dead and I'll stand before a living God and I will give an account for my life, and you won't be there. I will stand before God, and I will give an account for the call on my life. And I believe he's called us to do this on this property, and I don't disagree with you that it's impossible. But I know when I stand there, and this isn't hypothetical. This is real to me. I can count the years now. 43 years. If I live to be 86, in 43 years, I'm going to stand before him. And I said, and when I tell him that you said it was impossible, he's going to look at me and say, John, did I not tell you all things are possible to him that believes? Why did you believe him instead of me? And I wasn't being rude to the person. I wasn't trying to disparage them or make them feel badly about their position. I just said, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I said this, if it falls flat and I just blow this thing up because I'm a poor leader, I can live with that. I can live throughout eternity looking God in the eye saying, I tried to do what you called me to do at the scale you called me to do it. Somehow I didn't hear your voice. Somehow I messed it up. I know it's not on you, God, it's on me. But you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay living throughout eternity knowing that, man, I went for everything I had to do everything I could do in the capacity of my calling to touch humanity for Christ. I said, I'm okay with that failure. Why? Because human failure is short-lived. But there is an eternal weight of glory that comes in a person's life when they partner with God. When your passion is God's passion, you've now entered into a partnership with the God of all creation. And I wish I had time, I don't, but the things that God did over the period, I saw more miracles, and I look back and I think, it's still impossible when I look back. And yet what God has done is so incredible. What is it that he's called you to do with your life that sitting on the sidelines and moving back into the realm of just time has kept you out of the full power of God to do what you were meant to do with your life? We've got to go all in for God. And I don't mean, oh Lord, you know, I'm going to serve you. Hallelujah. I mean, what am I on the planet for? You don't get to live forever. You're too close to heaven to think any other way. You're too close to heaven. You're too close to heaven. And what it does is it changes every perspective in your life. And I'm too close to heaven to treat Michelle any other way than the best I can. I'm too close to heaven to treat my husband. I'm too close to heaven not to lead my kids well. I'm too close to heaven not to be kind. I'm too close to heaven. Shut up, John. Shut up. You're too close. No one knows. No one cares if you think that. Shut up. I'm talking to me now. John, I ever tell yourself, shut up? It's good. Try it. Shut up, John. You're too close to heaven to talk that way. Shut up. Listen to what the scripture tells us in Hebrews 12. We're winding down, which this morning might doesn't mean a whole lot. Hebrews 12. Stick with me because, guys, this is so important. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is the race God marked out for you. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, that's you and me, endured the cross, scorning or despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you know that's where your intercessor lives? Jesus, at the right hand of the throne of God. Ever living, the scripture said, to make intercession for you. He said, so you consider Jesus who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. It requires, no, I'm not going to let that of the earth keep me back from doing, no, I'm going to make that step for God. What are the gifts and talents that God has entrusted to you? Have they been brought into the kingdom yet? Are you leveraging those for eternal purposes? If you're not, you're living a half-dead life. God is wanting to raise up a generation of people who will find their place and serve in the kingdom of God in whatever capacity they've been gifted. And one of the areas that is so important for people in this day right now, particularly with the call of this church to multiply, is those called to leadership. See, leadership is what you're doing out there. Has it been brought into the service of the kingdom of God yet? See, you understand there's not magic pixie dust in the church. If you don't lead, if you don't have a leadership gift in your everyday life, you don't come to church and get one. It's like if you can't sing out there and you come here and say, I want to sing for Jesus. Well, you have to sing in your seat without being microphoned because that would be a bad thing. Coming here doesn't give you a voice. There are people with a leadership gift. Let me tell you about one of the greatest pastors of our generation, a guy named Bill Hybels. Hybels said this. And I'm going to mess it up a little bit because I'm pushing it all together very quickly. Hybels went to some of the, and he pastors this wonderful church near Chicago called Willow Creek. Willow Creek is an international now organization helping churches and leaders all over the world at a scale that is remarkable. Hybels has different people in his church, CEOs, people that make absurd amounts of money. He would sit down with these people across their desk and say, I'm here as your pastor. And I want to ask you a question. And for some of them, he said this, I would be ashamed to die and stand before Jesus with the way you've handled your money. Do you really just need another villa in another city in somewhere in Europe that you don't even get to go see, that you pay someone to maintain? Do you really need another one of those? And I don't need just a project. We're doing a $50 million worldwide initiative to do these things. I'm asking you, take 10 million of this and put it in this, it'll last forever. And he's literally saying to them, live for something more than today. Some people he went to and he said this, men and women alike, they're making seven figures a year. And he would go up to them and say, look, I need your leadership in the church. I need your leadership to do these worldwide initiatives. They're gonna touch hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. But I need a leader like you. So I'm gonna ask you to consider taking a little pay cut, couple million a year. I'll drop you to 75,000 with benefits. How much money do you need to make? People, they're 58, 60 years old. So what are you doing? You think you're gonna get to come back and do this? When are you gonna leverage all this for God? And not everybody's taking them up on it, but I'll tell you what, enough has that they've touched the world. You may not have that kind of capacity, but I know you have some capacity. You have a gifting in your heart to do something for God. Are you leveraging your gifts into the kingdom of God serving? Because here's the reality. If you want to come to a church that is safe without risk, one that's only about me, one that the methods and the preferences of people matter. I don't like that song. I hope, Pastor, that worship song was I didn't like it. Please never do it again. Really? The world's without Christ, and we're going to talk about a song? If those kind of things are what matter to you, you hate this church. I mean, you're going to hate it. Because we are committed to nothing, not a method, not a preference, but to a message that is sacred and eternal, the gospel, and we'll use any means to get it out. Now here's the deal. The fourth week of the Legacy series is after next weekend, which is the Christmas show, which you're all coming to, bringing people that don't know Jesus. Yes, right? The fourth weekend, we're not having church here at all. The doors are closed that weekend. No church here. It's online. Saturday night, 6 and 8 o'clock, Sunday morning, 9 and 11. What I did is we brought a group of 20-something young people, 30-somethings and some 40-somethings with the next generation, and we invited them into our home. And we had a bunch of them around us. We had a time of worship that you can invite. We'll invite you into that worship and that service. And then we had a dialogue. Boy, you talk. I was so lit for God by the time they were done. I told Michelle, baby, we can leave now with this kind of people here. These are incredible people. God is calling this church to multiplication. That weekend, so we won't have church here. Oh, by the way, you know, every Sunday when you come here, there are people that have been here that serve as volunteers. Some of them get here before at 7 o'clock. And they're still here. So we want them to have a week of rest as well. But it's going to be a great, so I don't think that's appropriate. Show me a scripture in the Bible that tells you how to have a church service. It's not in there because it's not relevant. What is relevant is getting the message to people and collecting people in manners and ways that will cause them to be able to come together as the ecclesia, the called out ones, the people of God, to go do something amazing to honor our King. But if you want to be in a church that is multiplying, because we are no longer adding in this church, I'm telling you by faith, this is a multiplying church. And not only our numbers here of reaching people for Christ in every realm of everything we do, but please join your faith with me. God has mandated this in our hearts that we are going to see 300 churches in this region multiply. Right now we're connected to about 70, 80 churches, but I'm telling you in the next 7 to 10 years, if 300 churches experience multiplication in this region, it will impact well over 2 million people. The domino effect easily will be 2 million people. What does it look like if 2 million people know God and find freedom and discover their purpose and make a difference? That's what God wants you and me to see. That's the kind of vision and image he wants the church to have. Not come in, sing three hymns, two hers, go home. But let's go do something great for God. Jesus, the last thing he said, go get me the world. I want them all. And the church is sitting back in caves waiting for Jesus to return, eating lousy trib food that's dried up. Well, I've got my food in the basement in case bad things happen. Well, great. But what are you doing until then? Jesus said, occupy till I come. He wants his church to be an occupying force to bring the gospel in every corner and crevice. That weekend's going to be a blast. I hope you take the time to watch it. It'll absolutely stir your heart. Proverbs tells us this as I close. Proverbs 11:30 said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. He that wins souls is wise. Number your days. Apply your heart to wisdom. I know you've heard me say this to where you're like, please stop. Friday night coming at 7 o'clock, then this coming Saturday at 4 and 6, and then next Sunday, which is Christmas Eve, at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. will be the Christmas show. Now, it is going to be spectacular. I mean that. I'm telling you, I believe this with all my heart. You would pay to go see this at the Benedim and be thrilled and happy you paid the money, but it's free. But we're not putting this together so people can go, what a great show. It is simply a channel for all of us to come together and do something that will last forever. Take these on your way out, as many as you want. Not just hand them out to people, but you find somebody, 1, 2, 3, 4 families. Oh, we have one guy that's literally renting a passenger van to bring people that are homeless. I'm going to go get these people that are at this shelter. I'm bringing them, and they're going to come, and they're going to hear the gospel. Jesus said, go into the highways and the byways. Go to the places. And it doesn't have to be people openly broken like that. It can be anywhere in your life you know somebody that has a need for a Savior. And you do everything you can and trust God to bring them here, get them here. And we're believing God over these 6 shows, 3 days, for at least 10,000 people to be in attendance. And then finally this, we're believing God that on Jesus' quote birthday, that we're gonna lay at his feet a present, which is the reason he died. Human beings that were now hellbound will now be heavenbound because they receive a Savior. How many of you think 2,000 people added to the kingdom of God is a way to celebrate Christmas? Then make a difference. Make a difference with your life. Number your days. You're too close to heaven. You're too close to heaven to ignore this. Because someday, not hypothetically, you will stand, I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what I did with a channel that could take somebody that Jesus died for into the kingdom. And I want to encourage you to take it that seriously. So I want to pray for you this morning as we close, that God will just so cement this in your heart and that you begin to live fearless lives and you live them on purpose. You have no idea what's ahead of you if you'll partner with God. You have no idea the resource of heaven that that will touch your life. You have no idea the trail of sorrow and pain that can be generational that will stop with you, and you won't pass it on to your kids and grandkids. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice. Oh, I pray, Father God, that we would live every day with eternity in focus, that we would love you passionately, knowing we're too close to heaven to live any other way, that we would serve others selflessly, and number our days, and that we would live life intentionally and fearlessly, realizing that in pleasing you and in having your heart our heart, you partner with us. We strip everything off that hinders us and we run our race. And by faith, we declare this is a multiplying church. 300 churches around our influence will multiply. Lord, we speak that by faith. And we pray now for the weekend coming up of the Christmas show, Friday, 2 Saturday and 3 Sunday, Lord, that the people in this place will fill this place with people, that at least 10,000 people will be here, and Lord, at least 2,000 will come to know you. I pray that we will shout for eternity over that action if we will do the part you've called us to do. Lord, I pray that every person will take those steps and own this and make a real difference in their life that will last forever. In Jesus' name. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, if you drew your final breath, you don't know where you'd spend eternity. If you're here or watching online and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're not sure if you've ever given your life to Christ, I want to pray for you. I'll do it right where you're seated. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. You don't go to heaven because you gave something or did something good or go to church or were baptized in a church, had a sacrament. No church can make you right with God, including this one, only by receiving Jesus. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to pray with you to receive Christ in my heart, to know that when I receive him, I'll become a new creation. My sin debt vanished and I will be heaven bound because of a Savior in my life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you want to be included in that prayer. Either your heart is very far from God, or and you just feel like, oh, I gave my life to the Lord many years ago, but I'm so far from God. Or you just never have or not sure. Say, please include me in that prayer. Right where you're seated, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, simply raise your hand up where I can see it and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this with us. Pray where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you by Jesus Christ, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. So I open the door of my heart, the door of my life, and Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. Amen. Give them a hand. Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.